from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. IMF World Bank is interested in Indonesian LRT development. The World Bank approves Indonesia's agrarian reform program. Malaysian Foreign Minister to meet President Joko Widodo. Now the news in detail. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, and World Bank are interested in light rail transit, or LRT, development in three cities in Indonesia, namely Medan, North Sumatra, Bandung, West Java, and Surabaya, East Java, as a solution to reduce traffic density in the three cities. During the IMF and World Bank meeting in October, the government wants to submit a proposal for LRT development in three cities in the hope that the feasibility study can be finalized. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi disclosed it to the press after opening the National Working Meeting 3-2018 of the Indonesian Railway Society in Jakarta on Saturday, July the 21st. Antara News Agency reported, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi explained a number of foreign parties have expressed their desire to build LRT in Indonesia because it is considered to have economic value. According to him, the government is encouraging foreign parties, including foreign private companies, to participate in building mass transportation infrastructure such as LRT and trains that are considered effective to reduce the density on the highway. The World Bank Executive Board has approved a $200 million OneMap program to support the Indonesian government's agrarian reform. Through a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Saturday, July the 21st, World Bank Country Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Rodrigo E. Chavez, said about 4.3 million land users will benefit from the program. According to him, OneMap program will accelerate government efforts in the agrarian sector through participatory mapping, electronic land information services, and complete and systematic land registration. Rodrigo E. Chavez said agrarian reform is an important foundation in development as it will bring clarity on land use, access rights, and licensing, which ultimately helps reduce poverty and income inequality. Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Abdullah, during his visit to Indonesia from July the 20 to 23rd, is scheduled to meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo. According to a press statement from the Malaysian Embassy in Jakarta on Saturday, Abdullah's visit to Indonesia is his first since he was inaugurated as Malaysian Foreign Minister on July the 2nd under the government of Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. Abdullah is scheduled to meet President Joko Widodo tomorrow on Monday, July the 23rd, and then his Indonesian counterpart Retno Marsudi on the same day to discuss bilateral issues and new strategic cooperation. At the meeting, the foreign ministers of both nations will discuss various issues of interest, including diplomatic steps to be taken by Indonesia and Malaysia in dealing with the discrimination against palm oil products in the European Union region. In addition, the two foreign ministers will discuss efforts to negotiate the Indonesia-Malaysia border region. The Malaysian Foreign Minister's visit is a follow-up to the Prime Minister Mahathir's visit to Indonesia on June 28th and 29th. The visit is expected to strengthen the existing strong bond of friendship between Malaysia and Indonesia for the prosperity of the people of both countries. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi asked the National Railway to increase local contents in multiple projects. Budi hoped the railway projects do not use only foreign products. At an Indonesian railway event in Jakarta on Saturday, July the 21st, he cited as an example providing little components in the train infrastructure. Indonesian Transportation Ministry recently started multiple railway projects in several regions such as Light Rail Transit or LRT in Medan, Bandung, and Surabaya. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank reportedly would fund the project. The ministry would seek funding sources for logistic trains in Kalimantan and Makassar to Parepare, as well as the Jakarta-Bandung and Jakarta-Surabaya high-speed rail. Budi mentioned the use of local contents in the construction of the train under the management of the State Railway Manufacturing Company Industri Kereta Api or INKA, which was dominated by components from abroad. He expected local component would reach 40% to 50% from the current 35%. According to Transportation Minister Budi Karya, several local companies including LEN, Bharata Indonesia and Pindad started producing local components for railways from which INKA would later meet its needs. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry established the first fellowship program dubbed Friends of Indonesia for young diplomats from various countries. The program aimed at disseminating information related to Indonesia's development, particularly at economy and industry aspects. Hence, those young diplomats would later make a great decision for the country should they become leaders. According to the Ministry's Public Diplomacy Director, Aziz Nur Wahyudi, there are 10 participants from 10 countries, including Japan, Myanmar, Nigeria, and Papua New Guinea, in the program, which started from July the 18th until 27th in three different places, Jakarta, Bandung, and Bali. Aziz recently said that the purpose of the program is to introduce today's Indonesia. During the program, participants would meet Indonesian diplomatic students and learn how to interact with media and about Indonesian culture. He asserted that Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry should build a bridge. Thus, it invited young diplomats overseeing Asia regions to Indonesia and provide them experiences to directly see the country's development. Aziz added that the program is different from seeing Indonesia from document only. The 18th Asian Games Torch Relay Parade arrived in Situbondo, East Java on Saturday evening, July the 21st, and was welcomed by thousands of people and students who lined up along the Pantura Jawa-Bali Road. The 2018 Asian Games Parade was welcomed by Situbondo Sub-District Head Dadang Wigyarto and his deputy Yoyo Mulyadi, along with the local regional communication forum at Tugu 1000 km Anyer Panarukan Monument. Throughout the parade, thousands of students and community members eagerly welcomed the 18th Asian Games Torch Parade Group, which had earlier passed Mount Bromo tourist spot in Probolinggo District. Last item, Indonesian Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko visited Hungary on July the 18th to 20th to improve a number of cooperation in various fields, especially in education like scholarship and student exchange programs. Antara News Agency reported Deputy 3 of the Presidential Chief of Staff, Deni Puspa Purbasari, in a written statement in Jakarta on Saturday, July the 21st, said that Indonesia is interested in Hungarian education, such as in engineering, medicine, architecture, especially the restoration of old buildings and water management, while Indonesia can offer exchange in the field of anthropology, literature, and traditional art of music. It is hoped that there will be joint research programs and exchange researchers on mitigating the impacts of climate change. Therefore, Indonesia's position, which is right under the equator, makes the impacts of climate change significant for the livelihoods of farmers and fishermen. To end the news, here are the main points once again. IMF, World Bank are interested in Indonesian LRT development. The World Bank approves Indonesia's agrarian reform program. Malaysian Foreign Minister to meet President Joko Widodo in Jakarta. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is the Reward Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia, which today is on Asian Games 2018 torch. There is a story behind the election of Eternal Flame from Merapen in Grobogan Central Jawa as a place of taking the flame of Asian Games 2018 torch. The story was expressed by the Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture of Indonesia, Puan Maharani, on Wednesday, July the 18th. According to Puan Maharani, even though there is a source of eternal fire in other areas, the attraction of eternal flame in Merapen is reserved for storing high historical value. The eternal flame of Merapen has been the source of torch flame taking on several national and international agendas since the era of President Sukarno to this day. The Eternal Flame of Merapen for the first time was taken for the opening ceremony of the Games of Developing Countries, Organevo, on November 1, 1963. Then the National Sports Week also took the Eternal Flame in Merapen, started from the 16th National Sports Week, or PON, on August 23, 1996. For religious occasions, Eternal Flame of Merapen is also used to light a torch of Vesak Day ceremonies for Buddhists. Puan Maharani related the story when giving a speech in the 2018 Asian Games fire-taking activities in the attraction of Eternal Flame Merapen in Grobogan Wednesday. Puan hopes that the 2018 Asian Games torch flame taken from the immortal fire source in Merapen, Grobogan, can be a burning spirit of all national athletes who will compete in Jakarta and Palembang in the Asian Games. From Merapen, 2018 Asian Games torch fire paraded in Semarang. Regent of Grobogan Sri Sumarni said she was proud because the Eternal Flame from Merapen was selected as the location of taking the Asian Games 2018 torch flame. At least through this moment, Grobogan districts will be known to the eyes of the world. Moreover, Aris Susanti Rahayu, a girl from Taruman Village in Grobogan district, scored the name of Indonesia after becoming the fastest participants in the IFSC World Cup Climbing World Championship 2018 in Chongqing, China, in the speed climbing performance. This moment has its own pride and history for Grobogan people. Judging from the historical story from generation to generation in the local community, the existence of the source of the eternal fire of Merapen is related to the history of the end of the Majapahit Kingdom, which was conquered by Sultanate of Demak Bintoro in 1500 to 1518 AD. Meanwhile, the torch relay has started with the taking of eternal fire in India on Sunday, July the 15th, and then sent to Indonesia. Fire taking in India is not separated from the status of the country that became the origin of the Asian Games. On Wednesday, July the 18th, the torch arrived in Yogyakarta, Central Jawa. The fire was combined with the eternal fire from Merapen, Central Jawa, and also combined in Prambanan. The blend with the eternal fire from Merapen is not without reason. Up to now, the fire is still burning all the time, regardless of the weather. If examined from the scientific side, the existence of this external fire can also be explained by science. The emergence of fire from fractures in the ground was due to geological phenomenon of natural gas. The natural gas comes out of the gap of the soil and ignites fire so that the fire will continue to burn as long as the natural gas is still spraying. The Eternal Frame, which is a combination of India and Merap and Grobogan Central Jawa, is united in Prambanan then taken to Solo City, received by Surakarta Mayor Hadi Rudianto, who expressed readiness to enliven the fire of the Asian Games, which is imported from combination of India's Eternal Flame and the Eternal Flame from Merap and Grobogan. That was my Indonesia Today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello there, welcome back to Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with July the 22nd, 1916, the Preparedness Day bombing in San Francisco. The Preparedness Day bombing was a bombing occurred in San Francisco, California on July the 22nd, 1916, when the city held a parade in honor of Preparedness Day in anticipation of the immediate entry of the United States into World War I. During the parade, a luggage bomb exploded, killing 10 and injuring 40. This is the worst attack in San Francisco history. Two labor leaders, Thomas Mooney and Warren K. Billings, were sentenced to death in separate trials, then converted into life imprisonment. The investigation then found there was false testimony, and the men were released in 1939 and ultimately pardoned. The identity of the real bombers has never been determined. Turning to July 22, 1946, King David Hotel bombing. The bombing of the King David Hotel was a terrorist attack that took place on Monday, July 22, 1946 by the militant Zionist underground organization Irgun against the British administrative headquarters for Palestine, which lies south of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. 91 people from various nationalities were killed and 46 wounded. The hotel was the Palestinian Authority headquarters of the British Mandate, principally the Palestinian Authority Secretariat and the headquarters of British Armed Forces in Palestine and Transjordan. The attack was originally approved by the Haganah, an important Jewish paramilitary group in Palestine, and it was regarded as a counterattack to Operation Agata, which is a series of invasions throughout the whole layer, including of the Jewish agencies conducted by the British authorities, and was the deadliest event that occurred against the British in the Mandate era from 1920 to 1948. I'll end Today in History with July the 22nd, 2011, the Norwegian Offensive. The 2011 Norwegian attack was two single simultaneous terrorist attacks by Anders Behring Breivik against the government, civilians, and youth workers' summer camp. The attack took a total of 77 lives. The first attack was a car bomb explosion in Oslo, part of the executive government. The blast killed 8 people and wounded at least 209 people, 12 of them serious. The second attack occurred less than 2 hours later at a summer camp on the island of Utøya in Trifjorden, Buskerud. The camp was organized by the AUF, the youth division of the ruling Norwegian Labour Party. Breivik fired on the participants, killing 68 people and injuring at least 110. Norwegian police arrested Anders Behring Breivik, a 32-year-old Norwegian right-wing extremist on Utøya Island, and accused him of 2 attacks. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with this week's Spotlight. which today is on The World Appreciates Indonesia's Progress in Forest Management. The International World Appreciates Indonesia's Step in Improving Current Forest Management. Appreciation was given by FAO's Deputy Director General for Food and Agriculture Organization, Daniel Gustafsson, at the 24th session of the Food and Agriculture Organization Forest Committee in Rome, Italy on Tuesday, July 17. Gustafsson appreciated the Indonesian government's serious effort to manage sustainable forests. Looking ahead, FAO will enhance cooperation with Indonesia through the development of an international peat research center and social forestry. Appreciation was also given by the Norwegian ambassador to FAO, Inge Nordang, on the same occasion. Inge Nordang explains, since 2010, Norway has been in cooperation with Indonesia in reducing emissions in the forestry sector through a letter of intent. Under the agreement, Norway gradually distributed $1 billion to Indonesia in line with the development of preparations and achievements. She said Norway is very proud to establish a partnership with Indonesia in forestry. Inge Nordang also praised Indonesia, which is targeting 12.7 million hectares of forest area for social forestry and has given customary forest recognition to indigenous and tribal people since late 2016. She also appreciated the leadership of President Joko Widodo and Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya, which enabled this to happen. The European Union Ambassador to FAO, Jan Tombinski, meanwhile, also praised Indonesia's seriousness in ensuring the legality of its wood products. Tombinski stated that Indonesia is the first country to follow the Forest Law Enforcement, Governance and Trade, or FLEGT, license. According to Tombinski, in just 18 months, 40,000 shipments of timber products from Indonesia worth billions of dollars are shipped to European Union countries. For Tombinski, this is a very high value, which helps the Indonesian government to increase revenue in addition to overcome illegal logging. In the 24th session of the FAO Food and Agriculture Organization Forest Committee, the Minister of Environment and Forestry described the achievement of a new paradigm of forest management in the last 3.5 years as set out in State of Indonesia's Forest 2018. She described successes such as forest fire management, deforestation and forest degradation, social forestry, and the role of forest companies. This ministerial exposure is expected to strengthen the image of Indonesia and reduce the international pressure that often stigmatizes Indonesia's forest management. Well, that was this week's Spotlight on The World Appreciates Indonesia's Progress in Forest Management. I'm Anna Trijayakasih. You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, and World Bank are interested in light rail transit, or LRT, development in 3 cities in Indonesia, namely Medan in North Sumatra, Bandung in West Java, and Surabaya in East Java, as a solution to reduce traffic density in the 3 cities. The World Bank Executive Board has approved a $200 million one-map program to support Indonesian government agrarian reform. Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Abdullah, during his visit to Indonesia from July 20 to 23, is scheduled to meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo and have a talk with his counterpart Retno Marsudi in Jakarta. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi asked the National Railway to increase local contents in multiple projects. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry established the first fellowship program dubbed Friends of Indonesia for young diplomats from various countries. The 18th Asian Games Torch Relay Parade arrived in Situbondo, East Java on Saturday evening, July the 21st, and was welcomed by thousands of people and students who had lined up along the Pantura Jawa-Bali Road. Indonesian Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko visited Hungary on July 18 until 20 to improve a number of cooperation in various fields, especially in education, like scholarship and student exchange program. That was the end of News in Brief. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'll introduce the tourism object of Lobang Kacamata in Bengkulu Province. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voinews.id. Lobang Kacamata, roughly translated spectacles or glasses gap, is actually an old gold mining location from the Dutch colonial time, which is located in Lebong Tambang Village, North Lebong Subdistrict, approximately 2 kilometers from downtown Bengkulu. Currently, it is known as a traditional mining site. This traditional gold mining activity is an attraction for tourists who want to see it from close by. And because of the unique shape of the holes, which resemble spectacles or glasses, local people call the location Lobang Kacamata, which means spectacles or glasses gaps or holes. Lobang Kacamata tourism object is an evidence of Dutch colonial history in Indonesia, especially in Lebong district. The cave is located inside a hill or on the wall of the rocky hill, which is one of the entrances into the mine. The width is approximately 2 meters and the height is 4 meters from the ground. The cave inside this pit is very visible and illustrates that so much gold and silver mining activity was done at that time. Formerly, Lebong was rich and famous for its gold and silver. the gold top of Tugu Monas or the National Monument in Jakarta that stand majestically in the capital of Indonesia today is derived from Lebong. This tourist object can be reached by using public transportation. Currently, the gold and silver mining activities around the cave are still running, and the traditional nature is the attraction as a historical tour. People can see the process of mining activities, filtration, and up to the stage of manufacture to produce gold and silver. Since 2011, Lobang Kacamata has begun to be used as an outbound location and flying fox. That was Indonesian Wonder from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, featuring various aspects of Indonesia like art and tradition, also environment and technology, even lifestyle. This edition explores the topics of students developing metals degradation on fish. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Impact of heavy metal pollution in the waters become the attention of researchers in the world, including in Indonesia. Pollution has a negative impact on marine ecosystems, including fish that are widely consumed by people. Heavy metals that often contaminate water are mercury and lead. Fish that consume mercury and lead are not able to decipher it, so if the fish is consumed, it also contains mercury and lead, which is dangerous for human body. This encourages students of Faculty of Agricultural Technology Universitas Brawijaya or Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java to innovate. There are Tri Wahyu Perdana, Anissa Aurora Kartika, and Muhammad Alwi with lecturer Joko Prastio. The team developed an innovation in the form of a heavy metal concentration in fish called FIMAC or Fish Metal Reducer System. According to Wahyu, so far the processing of fish containing heavy metals only by soaking it in acid solution. But this process still has many weaknesses. The common disadvantages are changes in texture, color, and taste in processed fish. In addition, sometimes fish containing metal content is often thrown away because of limited funds for processing. While fish actually have a very important content for humans, such as a source of protein and essential fatty acid. According to Wahyu, the content is indispensable in the formation of brain cells to increase the level of human intelligence. Besides, fish is also an economic source for the community. He said the innovation of post-harvest treatment tool for fish was created as an effort to realize the security of Indonesian maritime products. According to Wahyu, VMAC is a very practical and inexpensive tool because in the process it uses water aqueous and electrocoagulation methods. Aqueous are pure water or H2O, distilled water containing almost no minerals. Based on the research, soaking with aqueous can reduce the metal content or cadmium (Cd) reach 80% and lead metal or Pb reach 74.4%. Physical changes in fish can also be minimized, so it looks fresh and tasty if consumed. With this VMAC tool, it is expected that cases caused by heavy metal contamination in Indonesia can be reduced. So it can help improve the food safety of Indonesia. That was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Siddhartha Bhattacharji in India. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through the frequencies of 3325 kHz at 1800 hours to 1830 hours UTC on July 4, 2018 with CO444. Hello Mr. Siddhartha Bhattacharji, thanks for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We forwarded your email to the German section. please be patient to wait for the reply of your email from the German section. But we are trying to answer your one question. 3325 kHz is our temporary frequency, while our old 9525 kHz is being repaired. This frequency is transmitted from RRI Palangkaraya in Central Kalimantan. So, we hope you are satisfied with our answer. Well, Mr. Siddhartha, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, here's a song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Iwao Nagatani in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through the frequencies 3325 kHz on June 16, 2018 at 1900 hours until 1935 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Iwo Nagatani told that it is great pleasure that he has heard our radio station. Yes, you're right, we are temporarily using the 3325 kHz because our 9525 is under repair. But we are really glad because you can listen our radio clearly. It can be seen from your detailed reception report. Mr. Iwo Nagatani, your reception report has been forwarded to the Japanese section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you very much, and so please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. Okay, listener, let's listen to another song.
Sampai di sini.
You're still listening to Listener's Mailbag, broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply an email from Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English on July the 10th, 2018 at 13:36 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you very much for your reception report and compliment on our broadcast. As we keep on saying, our broadcast now can be monitored through the 3325 kHz. Well, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So please keep listening, and for you, we will play a very beautiful song. Listener, before we end today's listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from the lovely Dieter Leupold in Germany. In his email, he told us that he tried to listen our broadcast in Japan program through the 3325 kHz. However, the transmission was not receivable. Hello, Mr. Dieter Loophole. If you listen to us, thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. We would like to deeply apologize for your inconvenience. We will deliver your complaint to our technical division as usual, and hopefully we will be back again with the 9525 kHz. And listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2100 hours to 2200 hours West Indonesian Standard Time, or 1400 hours up to until 1500 hours UTC. These programs enables you not only listen, but also watch our program just like watching TV. And if you want to access it, please download our application RRI Play, available for Android users. After download it, open the RRI Play, and then you choose RRI Net. And then you can choose the quality of the video, and maybe we will recommend 240 or 360 pixels. Before we sign out, listeners, let's say hello to Ahli Benchorha, Ram Kumar Niraj, Rakesh Rao, and Hamza Bilakal. They are, and many others, our regular listeners who always listen to our radio. Well, listeners, actually, we still have so many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign out. Thank you very much for listening The Voice of Indonesia, and do not forget to visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your subscription reports on our broadcast. If you want to send letter, please write to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, and follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, as usual, we will play another song from Indonesia. I'm Steve signing out. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.